This week's episode of Greetings from Storybrooke is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/storybrooke. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Again, that link is audibletrial.com/storybrooke.
Where are you headed?
To the North Woods, where the Snow Queen's hiding.
And what business do you have with her?
I have to fix a mistake that I made a long time ago.
Oh, I'm sorry, Brown, that's out of the question. I won't let you anywhere near her.
I was worried you were going to say that. Because I really, really didn't want to do this.
Greetings from Storybrooke. I'm Bill Meeks.
And I'm Anne-Marie DeSimone.
And this is a hat which can strip the magic from the most powerful of sorcerers. It can also make Anne-Marie's voice squeak. And we also talk about EBC's hit series, Once Upon a Time. How are you doing, Anne-Marie?
I'm squeaky. How are you?
A little not squeaky.
Not so
yet.
Squeaky.
Yeah, wait until a couple more minutes into the episode.
Is it the new facial hair?
Oh, yeah. If you're watching the video, I shaved off my full beard, and now I have a trucker mustache. I'm not sure if it's going to stick around or not, but probably about the closest to a hashtag prison bill I'm going to get, I would imagine. Okay, and let's see here. And we also have our guest tonight, Patty. How are you doing, Patty?
I'm doing great. Thanks for asking. Yay. How are you guys?
Oh, great. Good. Great.
I'm so glad you're with us.
Yay. Yeah, and if you've ever come out on a Monday nights at around 8:30 p.m. to watch us record this live on Google+, you usually see Patty in there in the chat. And, hey, we've had her on before. She was on our...
The panels.
Yeah, we had our season finale panel last year. Mm-hmm. So it'll be a good time, good time. I'm excited to have another great guest this week. Okay. Also, by the way, before we get started on the thing, we do have a couple spots left. If you want to be a guest on Greetings from Storybrooke, you just have to go to bit.ly/beyondgreetings. And I thought Anne-Marie was pointing at me. She was pointing at the camera.
I'm pointing at you. You out there.
You. We want you to be on Greetings from Storybrooke. bit.ly/beyondgreetings. Okay. Hey, Anne-Marie, you want to go ahead and start us off with our rhyming episode summary?
Okay.
Ahem.
Anna and Belle climb up Rocky Mountains. A trickle of trouble turns into a fountain. Emma, the savior, has a cold-hearted stalker. Her behavior consists of hiding paintings in a locker. Rumpel's full of lies as he faces Dairy Queen. He's aware of her actions, but it's nothing he's foreseen. Everyone's related. Doesn't matter if they like this. Emma gets some sisters in this week's Family Business.
Family Business.
Family Business.
Now, I told you before we started recording, Anne-Marie, that there was something about this week's rhyme that I was going to tell you later.
Oh, about how to read the bottom part? Because it didn't come out right.
Yeah, well, I did. Unlike usual, I usually have kind of like a fairy tale rhyme in my head when I'm writing it.
Oh.
This week, I had like an Eminem song in my head as I was writing. I was trying to match kind of the cadence of an Eminem song. So, but I didn't want to tell you because I wanted it to come out rhyme regardless.
No, I can't rap. Nope.
Anna and Belle climb up Rocky Mountains. A trickle of trouble turns into a fountain. You know, like that. That nice. Sort of thing. I'm not going to do the whole thing. Maybe after we stop the recording. Okay, but
you were doing great so far.
Maybe after we stop the recording. This is a good reason for people to tune in live and watch the video.
That's very
okay,
true.
I'll go ahead and start with you though, Patty. What did you think of the episode overall? Just a broad general. How'd you feel about it?
I thought it was a pretty good episode. Honestly, it did keep me engaged. Even when I was watching and trying to take notes, half the time I managed to stop and just continue to watch consistently, yeah. Knowing I had to take notes. This morning I had to look up recaps from some online website just to something down about what was going on in the episode.
Yeah, just to fill in the blanks. I always watch it three times. Amory always watches it twice. So,
yes.
So, but I think the first year or so, we relied on some of those recaps.
It was bad.
So what did you think about the episode overall, Amory?
I love that we got a Belle-centric episode. Mm-hmm. I wish I didn't want to smack her as much as I do.
Yeah.
So there's that. Yeah, I'm working past that.
I found myself saying what the Belle as well. And so we should probably go ahead
what
and start.
What the Belle?
What the Belle?
Oh, that was loud. Sorry. Yeah,
it's okay. I'm sure no one's wearing headphones when they're listening to this.
No, not at all.
No, but she was there. She was very present within the episode. But a lot of our letters and stuff address this too. She felt a little out of character.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. And that could be, you know, her just like coming in real quick to be in one featured episode and everything. But the thing is, we also saw like if it was intentional, if her being out of character was intentional, then I think we've really seen a new dynamic to Belle that we haven't been introduced to before, which is basically, you know how she lets Anna fall to try and do something selfish to get her memories back, to get the pebble. And then she comes back and she's all about and when she hears from her father about how her mother made the selfless sacrifice, then she's all about the selfless sacrifice and everything, which one, I thought it was really ironic that, that information didn't come to light until after she let Anna die or apparently die, at least to her.
Right.
And everything. But and then after that, she calls for her father to get Rumpelstiltskin involved so she can be the hero.
Right.
So instead of being selfless, Belle in a lot of ways is
very selfish.
Very selfish here, even in trying to be selfless.
Selfless.
Because she's she's trying to assuage her own guilt by making the sacrifice and having kind of like guilt victim complex mentality sort of thing or like she's right. trying to make herself the or she's trying to like serve penance or something for not saving Anna. Which is like
Hercules.
Yes.
Hercules, the 12 labors. And besides that, her storyline actually reminded me a bit of the Red Badge of Courage, if you ever heard of that book.
I've heard of it. I'm not familiar with the story. Go ahead and elaborate.
Okay, the Red Badge of Courage, a good point of it is about a bunch of like soldiers, I think in the Civil War, where one of the soldiers in particular ran away from the battle. Basically, he went a bit AWOL until he got injured. Somebody found him and dragged him back. He felt guilty about going AWOL when everybody's thinking he got injured from the battle.
Okay.
Around the end of the story, if it was the soldier who ran first into a battle situation with the flag and glory. So eventually he actually learns that while he was running away, another soldier was going about to join him when the superior officer stopped him. So when I think about that episode, I guess the reason why I'm not more angrier is because I always think of that book. And so when you think of it in that way, it makes sense.
Oh yeah, definitely. And you know, I'm not necessarily saying that shows something super negative in Belle or something. I'm just saying it kind of expands her character a little bit. Like unless it was lazy writing, in which case it was awful.
We'll get to that later.
But I also thought it was interesting. I'm starting to kind of think that maybe Belle and Rumpelstiltskin kind of deserve each other a little bit. Because her using the dagger to get Rumpel to, again, help her selfishly help her kind of make up for her guilt over Anna and you know, betraying the person she loves most and forcing him to do something against his will he's just spent like a half season being like kind of traumatized by Zelina making him do things he doesn't want to do.
Right.
And you know, obviously it's a fake dagger. It doesn't count, all that kind of stuff. But still,
I'm not sure.
No, it is. It totally is.
Wasn't he injured? Like, I know he got slashed, and it does show, like, a little bit of a red mark around his neck, as I recall.
I think it's a real dagger, but it's not the dagger. The dagger is in his...
Safe.
That's the word.
Yeah, they show it.
When he's putting the box in, you can see the dagger.
Yeah, and I mean...
And it's up against, like, if... You know, I'm reaching my hand in. It is like right here, so that if you're looking in, you couldn't see it. But since we had the angle from within, you could see it.
But wouldn't the magic have healed him if it was like the fake dagger and not shown the red mark afterwards while they were talking?
He couldn't do that. He couldn't heal himself because he couldn't let on that anything was.
But Hook stabbed him in the gut the last episode, and he survived that. So how is he still injured here?
What Anne-Marie is saying, I think, is that it was a show. The cut was a show he was putting on for Belle, so she didn't get any wiser. But I actually don't think, you know, based on the rules they've set around the dagger, he would have been able to transport her out of there if she'd been controlling him. Would he have?
He shouldn't have been able to, but by that point, she was pretty distraught and out of herself that he probably would have been okay. But she did question all that.
Yeah.
She was questioning everything. She's like, you can't come in here. Mm-hmm. I commanded you out there. It's like, no, you commanded me to watch.
Yeah.
I watched. I'm coming to get you. Mm. So.
Okay. Let's
which
see
leads directly into my point.
Yes, directly into your point. You want to take it over, Anne-Marie.
Yeah, that real dagger is definitely in his safe with the hat box, because I don't really know what else to call it right now. But, I mean, all he does is act in this episode. Like, she's like, I command you, or I take me to the North Woods, or what have you. And he can't fight it, otherwise she'll know.
Yeah.
And then it really, really bothered me that he didn't let on that he had any idea about the hatbox, like what it was.
Yeah, well, I'm sure he doesn't want it's one of those things where you don't tell anybody about it, because if anybody knows, then everybody could potentially know, and he wants that hatbox.
Wants that hatbox, yeah, and which we see him use later in the episode, but I don't know. It makes her look a little foolish. I don't know. They're supposed to be married, and they never, ever act married.
Yeah, well, it's definitely kind of a... Like I said before, it's either they deserve each other or it's a relationship kind of doomed, just because, I mean, all they ever do anymore is lie to each other.
Right.
And obviously, Belle probably feels a little worse about it than Rumple does, because Rumple's more used to it.
Right.
I mean, that look on his face when she was confessing everything and being like, but I don't think it is the fake dagger. And he's like, no, it's not the fake dagger. I promise. I swear.
Right. Exactly.
Did you have something?
I did. I actually found it weird that she didn't remember that he at some point knew about the box or had it in his possession, because Anna basically says where she got it from. Says, you know, she got it from this evil sorcerer. Hope you never cross him.
That is true.
And then go ahead.
How do you know how many evil sorcerers are in Storybrooke in the first place?
But,
I mean, we don't even know how many magic users are in town.
Right. But the next thing is, when she gets back, she automatically starts talking about Rumpelstiltskin to her father.
Or, well, she doesn't name Rumpelstiltskin.
Yes, she does.
I think she says there's a powerful sorcerer, and then he names.
No, he says, I refuse to name him. And she said, I don't care. I will call.
Okay.
We need to get Rumpelstiltskin.
Yeah, so what you're saying is that because she knew that Anna had stolen the box from him, that
why is she explaining what the box does to him?
And
she could have just been like, that hat box, that
Anna
thing.
Anna never said her name, so it could be like she's assuming there's somebody else.
But there's also, you know, there's that time where the off screen that we don't see, you know, she doesn't say the name at that scene.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it's a scene we should see, but we don't.
Yeah.
Because as soon as she gets back, she says Rumpelstiltskin. And obviously, that's how she learned about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's how I'm taking it.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really good point. I like that. when Rumpel said he didn't know anything about the box, that should have definitely been a red flag to Belle.
Well, I don't even know if he ever said anything about not knowing about the box. She just launched into a description of it.
She was going, this is the box, this is what this is what the hat does, all that, and he's like something like, if it sounds like that, then it must be a lie. Or, you know, he was trying to like convince her that it couldn't possibly be accurate, or that she had heard wrong or something like that, if I remember correctly. But that's interesting. That's something to maybe keep an eye on. I mean, maybe Bill's playing dumb or something like that.
Nah, that's probably not. Whole lot of dumb.
Because when she came clean, she definitely had some
tears. I guess it's my point.
Exactly, Patty. Exactly. Go ahead.
Well, in the end of the day, no matter what she may or may not, what she did, she does come clean. Mm-hmm. Mind you, that the whole mirror thing must have been one heck of a scared straight for Belle in order from keeping a secret to being, okay, I did it. I saw Anna. I did something wrong, and she got captured. Please don't kill me. Basically, that's the gist of the conversation. And she does warn them about the mirror itself, so... Mm. At the very least, she's coming clean and straight, while Rumpel is still in not. Let's face it, he's not even doing anything. He's not even thinking about confessing at this point.
Yeah, he's more concerned with leverage at this point.
I was reading.
Oh, no, go ahead. Did someone say something in the chat?
There's a lot of things in the chat. Okay. I'm trying to catch up because I've been so engaged.
Okay, well, Patty finishes. Why don't you filter out and get us some stuff from the chat?
I'm doing that.
I said all my points, didn't I?
Okay. Well, one thing I wanted to bring up, I thought it was really weird that, you know, the whole conversation, the capping conversations between the Rumpel and Snow Queen, where they talked about leverage. And so, which kind of seems to be what Rumpel's going after more than anything.
Which is really funny because that's literally what Hope just posted about. Really? He wanted to forgive Belle as leverage so that when she finds out the dagger's fake, he'd be like, no, you forgive me this, I forgive you this.
Yeah, and we saw that kind of power play going on between, I think I even used the term leverage several times, like in the Hook episode where he blackmails Hook into helping him and they go back and forth with the blackmail. That dynamic was working very well, very much there too. So I'm kind of curious to see when we're going to get a character that has leverage on Rumpel, because you know that's
somebody
coming.
Has to.
Yeah,
Mary Poppins.
Mary Poppins.
Mary Poppins.
I would love that.
That would be fantastic. Jiminy. Not an episode if we don't sing anything.
Anything else from the chat?
No. That's the main thing.
Okay, great. Well, we have a couple announcements here before we move on to the rest of our discussion. First of all, 2 weeks from tonight, it's going to be on November 17th at 8:30 p.m. EST. We're going to have our 100th episode.
100 episodes! I feel so old.
Just a month ago, we had our 2-year anniversary, and now we're going to have our 100th episode.
This is insane!
I know.
How have
nuts.
We been doing this that long?
And thankfully, the producers of Once Upon a Time and ABC and everything, they're so excited for our 100th episode that they went ahead and scheduled the double-length episode 8 for the Sunday right before our 100th episode.
And I almost spit my tea all over the computer that lovely statement.
No, but so we're going to have an extra long episode too, obviously. Which is going to be really hard work because, you know, we're going to have to double and triple watch the episode and everything. But we're going to be depending a lot on you guys, too. Obviously, you know, send in all the feedback you normally do, and we'll deal with all of it. But we're also going to have, after the main episode, we're going to have, like, a Q&A with the chat and everything. It's going to be a lot of good times. And we also want you guys to leave us some voicemails. Oh, yeah, you're doing the we want you again. But to leave us some voicemails at 424-274-2352. Again, that's 424-274-2352. With just answer 3 questions, and you can even email these in or whatever if you want. How and when did you find the show? Mm-hmm. What's your favorite part of the show? Mm-hmm. And what could we improve? Again, that's how and when did you find the show? What's your favorite part? and what could we improve? So just leave us a voicemail or send us an email or whatever, and we'll put all those in at the end of our 100th episode. And one more thing before we get back into the discussion. Anne-Marie, you want to discuss this, and I'll get it pulled up here?
You want me to discuss this?
Yeah, just briefly.
This week, Mr. Bill Meeks decided to start a Greetings from Storybrooke Tumblr.
We finally have a Tumblr. OMG, we have a Tumblr.
OMG, I still haven't logged into it.
Yeah, I'm
scared. I'm scared of the tumbles.
Yeah, but right now it's basically it's duplicating our Twitter feed, and we're posting episodes there and the occasional video,
right,
and stuff like that. But we'd love to
interaction.
Your thoughts about what we could do. We'd love some interaction. If you want to check out our Tumblr, it's gfstorybrookepodcast.tumblr.com, or you can find the link at the show notes for this episode at greetingsfromstorybrooke.com. Okay, let's see here. We'll go ahead and get back into the main episode discussion. Okay, now, a couple weeks ago, Michael Lucero kind of gave us some insight into the Farthark? Runes that were on the urn that Elsa was trapped in. So we knew those were going to be important this year. And they showed up in this episode on the scroll that Elsa reads at the end with the prophecy. Now, I do have some thoughts on the prophecy.
Before
we get there, you'll find the link in the show notes at greetingsfromstorybrooke.com for this too. I found a full translation from a user on Reddit of the entire prophecy. So I'll go ahead and – actually, Anne-Marie, why don't you read that?
Okay.
And then we'll discuss it.
Okay.
I have traveled the world near and far. My search knows no bounds. My obsession will not leave me. My search continue to the ends of the earth. One thing I know for sure. The name of the Savior is Emma. The Savior shall be my sister. The family must be complete.
I'm sorry, I was channeling some Harry Potter there.
You were a little bit. It's okay. No, but that's not exactly what Elsa said. She kind of gave the gist of the prophecy, but both in her version that she spoke in the episode and in this translated version, it just feels way too on the nose to be a prophecy. I was saying to Anne-Marie earlier, it feels almost like the Wikipedia summary for this section or this season of Once Upon a Time. Like, here's the basic summary of everything that's going on this season. But, Patty, what did you think of this prophecy? Did it kind of strike you as weird?
It strikes me as this Snow Queen is becoming creepy. Mm-hmm. That's why I am going to change her thinking about thinking of her name of Snow Queen to Lady McCreepy Pants.
Lady McCreepy Pants.
I definitely like that. Definitely.
Because honestly, following a lady since birth is kind of creepy.
Yeah, oh, yeah, completely creepy.
And keeping the detailed files and everything too. Like, I know we made some hoarder jokes about Emma last week, but
we really did. But
if we hadn't, they would have been going coming the Snow Queen's way this episode.
I think she may have it even better since she has a newspaper clipping from the day she landed in our world.
Yes.
How did she know she was going to land?
Like the file folder of paintings.
Hmm. How did she escape from the enchanted forest in the first place?
Thank you.
Very good question.
As even Rumple says, I would like to know. I spent a lot of time doing that.
Okay, and Anne-Marie, you had some additional thoughts on the prophecy?
Who the heck wrote the prophecy, and how did the Snow Queen get it, seeing as how it's coming from her perspective? Oh, wait, she probably wrote it on a thing herself.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, yeah, it, I don't think it's a prophecy. I think it's just, like, her blog.
It was getting...
Although, to be fair, Belle's mom probably did wrote the book.
See, I was thinking that too. Mm. Where does this prophet? She had to have written it herself when she was like sent away or whatever.
I will find my sisters.
I hate my sisters for putting me in that urn. When I get out, I'm going to find a new sister and call
Emma. Emma, and she'll be the savior.
She'll be cool.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if the Snow Queen wrote it, does that mean she can see into the future?
Oh, what was that? Oh, if she has, like, foresight like Rumple does?
Yeah, because she is pretty, very, as you said, very specific in trying to organize and to summarize what's going to happen. So if she wrote it, can't she tell the future?
Yeah. Actually, you know, they, you know what it could be? Maybe Rumpel gave her a little bit of the foresight in exchange for, as part of a deal or something. But I could also definitely see her having that ability too. But I don't know. This seems a little more exact than Rumpel's power usually
is. A little bit. I would just like to say, hi, Priscilla. Welcome to the chat.
Priscilla,
this is her first one.
Oh.
So this is why we're welcoming people. Second, Holly McMiller says, what about the prophecy that Rumpel heard from the seer that the boy will be his undoing? That hasn't really happened with him losing his Dark One powers, which is what you would consider his undoing.
Well, he did get undid, but then he got redid by the Wicked Witch, right? When he got revived?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it already happened.
I just wanted to address.
Fair enough. Sure. Okay, let's see here. Patty, you wanted you had a little breakdown on the sisters, right?
Oh, yeah. I actually decided to do a bit of research during my lunch break at work to find out what the names actually mean. Because when Grandbaby revealed to Anna that she had another sister, she actually said the names. Mm-hmm. So Helga means holy or blessed. And for some odd reason, every time I think of it, I think of Hey Arnold. Ingrid means beautiful. And Gerda, which we found out at the end of the episode, means enclosure or stronghold. And some people mention protection, so.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, I did see somewhere those might be actual names from the Snow Queen too. Let me check on that real quick.
To your chat room, answer the question.
But at the same time, when I also thought of it really closely, that the family had taken an extensive way of basically wiping them out the map. They even changed their own memories and everything to make sure that nobody remembered these two sisters.
Yeah.
It makes me question whether or not maybe Ingrid froze them, like froze Helga. In a fit of rage, because the way they feel Elsa's powers could be drawn from that experience, if like subconsciously she remembers it.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that was my impression. Definitely was that the Emma sister was probably killed by the powers or whatnot. Yeah, and I'm seeing here those names are all from the original story. Although it's interesting because. Even though they're calling her Gerda in once, I guess in Frozen the official name for the mother was Idun, I-D-U-N, and then Gerda was actually the name of one of the servant ladies as an homage to the original story.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess, you know, because they're doing this mashup, right, between the original story and Frozen. So I guess, you know, maybe they're... They're fudging a few of the details to make it all
right. You have to,
which is totally fair. Totally
yes.
fair.
Yes.
Okay.
I want to shift
let me
things.
Thing. Holly, I would totally agree that it is a good idea for Belle's mom to be the third sister.
Yes, absolutely.
I like it.
What was I going to point out? I was going to shift one of my points to where we were because we kind of touched on it.
Oh, what was it?
Okay. Well, it's sort of a sub-point of my main point. Why is there a book of Arendelle's lineage in the library, and why is that not the first thing they looked at? Also, Grandpappy said that they erased all records of the other two sisters from even the record book, so how did this one survive? Who wrote it? What the is going on?
Snow Queen changed it back, obviously, after Elsa disappeared. They were all gone. So there's a good point in time where it could have been left in the open and she could have easily changed it back to any way she saw fit.
Yeah, that fits her MO because, you know, the person who would find it in that sheriff's state or in that library would probably be Emma, and she seems very intent on getting Emma information as she needs it.
See, but
plus it's the Misthaven. Yeah, it's the Misthaven record books because it came over in the curse.
But they weren't. Arendelle was not Misthaven.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that Misthaven must have had records of Arendelle's, royal family and stuff, and the rock trolls weren't able to get the authorization to erase Miss Haven's memories.
I also think
England and every single country who has a monarchy does the same thing. They all look back into their records and try to record the family line.
Mm.
Heck, you could actually look at England's royalties and see the same thing. So it's not really based on real life. It's not something that they just made up.
Right. Mm. I was going to say, I think actually that Belle's mom might have written that book. Like, she was probably the keeper of the records because she was throwing all of those books in. I'm just combining a bunch of things now.
That's fine.
All of those books. And these are too important. These are too important for them to get. They can't get these, blah, 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 blah. The books are saved. Because Belle, when she's doing all of her research in her room, pulls out that Arendelle map.
Yeah.
Which is the same map she has in Storybrooke. So I think it's actually the same book that she was looking at in her room,
okay.
Which makes me all the more going, why was this not the first book you looked at? So do you see, like, that's what really bothered me about it. I'm like, you've seen this book before. It's been in your possession.
Mm.
Why did you not go, like, you had the most knowledge of pretty much anybody.
Yeah.
Well, maybe she didn't know that they were like, she knew that it was her aunt, but at the same time, in order to gain access to that information, she had to know about Arendelle.
But she knew she was in Arendelle.
That secret, trying to keep that secret, and all the more likely, they didn't probably ask her up to this point, so she was just doing whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see here. Let's discuss the mirror and the curse and all that stuff that comes in the last, like, 2 minutes and the big explanation and everything. Because it's the spell of the shattered – actually, I wrote sight here. I know that's not the right word.
No, I think it was.
Was it?
I think it was.
Okay, but anyway, it's a big cursey curse. And
Cursey curse.
It's promised that it will turn the town against each other.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I was thinking about the second I heard that is earlier this season, we were talking about how unstable people like Granny and Grumpy felt and how they were, you know, so quick to jump down each other's throats. And I mean, no one's really happy here. Snow's not happy with her new baby and a new family and a new life.
She has postpartum depression, though.
True. But
she has a clinical problem.
There could be a curse on, too. What I'm saying is there some, like, sort of low-level effect or something from this curse already active within Storybrooke? Or is it just going to latch on to those kind of negative aspects we've seen in the characters already this season and amplify them?
I think it's going to amplify them.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Something kind of about the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on.
Think Patty might
have some difficulty. My computer's lagging.
Oh,
it's okay.
Are we back?
I think we might still be lagging. I just said one. Say one back.
One.
Okay, we're good.
All
right. So I did hear something about maybe that when it's broken, that's how it happens, where it does turn somebody dark. Like,
yeah, that was
broken.
Like in the original story.
So maybe that's how what happens. Somebody breaks the mirror, like Hook suggested.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, people should stop listening to Hook after a certain bit, especially after a certain while. I mean, taking a pirate to a magic fight. Oh yeah, that's a smart idea. Leave all the magical people behind to face the dark one.
Nice. Okay, let's see, Amory, did you still want to talk about the rock trolls a bit?
Yes, I do, actually, because that's completely different than anything else I've talked about. Okay, so why was Anna going to visit Grandpappy and the rock trolls such a big ordeal?
Why does she never want to take Kristoff with her?
There's that, like, too. Like,
he's a tracker. He's a tracker. Like,
this is what he does.
That's what he does.
They're
for
his
living,
family.
Like.
They are his family.
And why didn't they take Sven? Seriously.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Ride Sven. But, like, I don't understand why it seems to be such a big deal to go there that she has to stop for supplies and all that, other than, you know, I want to say shovel, but that's wrong.
Pickaxe
thing and some rope. Sure, that stuff makes sense, but they should have it on hand and not have to go to woohoo, big summer blowout guy.
And I definitely understand that, you know, that was part of her whole character arc in the movie, of her, like, getting out and out from the castle and discovering the world and everything. But every episode, does she have to just, like, run off by herself
Right. Well, and the thing is,
especially when there's qualified people there.
Yeah, they really were very overly qualified people, you know, family. But I mean, they're basically her in-laws, so it shouldn't have been like a big thing. And it wasn't when she was there. It felt very homey and friendly and all that. He's like, oh, what's the new wedding date?
Yeah.
But the trip in the movie wasn't even that long of a journey. It was only long because there was a giant blizzard, which wasn't happening right now. And she had never left before. Yeah, she's been there repeatedly.
I mean, even in once in the first episode, they go there and there's no climbing rocks and all sorts of stuff. They're just like, oh, they're there.
Right. Like in the movie when she gets hit in the head, if you don't know Frozen, sorry. when Anna gets hit in the head by Elsa and they take her to save her, it's the family of four traipsing into the troll's home. Like, you're not going to carry a three-year-old up that mountain. You're going to go, somebody roll Grandpappy down here. We need him.
Yeah.
I don't know. It bothers me.
Something else to – oh, sorry, Patty. Go ahead.
Well, there's either two explanations. One – is that when Grandpappy took away their memories, they also took away the memories of him knowing them, which is a good possibility. And the second one is that maybe the relationship is not in the best of terms when afterwards, or something must have happened that soured.
That's true.
I also kind of had a problem with them erasing the entire kingdom's memory. Like,
yes. Well, at least we know what happened to Storybrooke.
Yeah, there's way too much memory wiping in this too, for sure.
I'm about to start a petition. Stop wiping memories. Stop wiping memories.
Somebody's going to get brain cancer or something. If they need to do this.
Yeah, but it definitely feels like they're adorable little rock trolls and everything, but that almost to me crosses the line into like an evil act to. Completely wipe out an entire kingdom's memories in order to protect the aristocracy.
But that's what their job. I mean, that's what they do. They do – if they're – your king and your queen go, you need to do this because you're the only one who can do it. They do it.
I'm just saying I think a little less of them now. Just a little.
But Grandpappy.
Sorry. He's persona non grata around here.
Well, if it helps, something similar. Like, I think every single government has done something like this at one point.
Oh, yeah.
Where they've done things that they're not exactly happy with. I've recently heard, like, Abraham Lincoln allowed this guy, who obviously was committing some kind of money laundering, he allowed him to continue keeping his job, unknowing that. Even though every evidence suggests that he did.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, there's all sorts of stuff, like even from like American history, from back in like the 50s of like, you know, false flag operations and things like that. I mean, it's definitely not unheard of for a government to do. It just, I think, a little bit less of the rock trolls now. Okay, Patty, you wanted to talk a little bit about the evil ice cream truck.
Yes. The heck did none of the adults know about the ice cream truck? I mean, every single kid. Henry knew about it, so obviously the way he acted was common knowledge. Oh, yeah, she has an ice cream truck. We could just find that.
It's like, you know Prince Charming likes some vanilla ice cream? You know that.
And at the same time, my other question, since you guys know I am studying accounting, is going straight into business. She runs a shop. What is ice cream truck considered as? Does she have an employee to go around to serve the ice creams? Is it like a separate business? Or is it a different service that she offers? Right. And if she's the one driving it, it's like she runs the shop in the weekdays. In the weekends, she goes around the neighborhoods with the ice cream truck.
Yeah, it seems hugely inefficient. Hugely inefficient.
Yeah.
And if there's an employee, who is it? Is it Anne-Marie or Bill? Are you driving the evil ice cream truck?
I am driving the ice cream truck on the weekends. I moonlight as an ice cream taster.
And I have been moonlighting as the evening guy at the ice cream shop.
There we go.
For sure. I'm glad you got a chance to bring in some business stuff, because originally we scheduled you for this episode because since it was called Family Business and we knew that Henry was going to be working in Gold Shop this year, that we assumed that this was going to going to be the Henry and Gold Shop episode, but
no.
No, Henry just told them about the ice cream truck, and that's about it.
Yeah, and yeah. At the very least, let me add at least a few points on that.
Share with the group.
The show, honest to God, is doing a great job with Gold's Pawn Shop. Almost, they are really on par with how the pawn industry is really run. The pawn industry, believe it or not, and Mr. Gold's Pawn Shop, at this time in Storybrooke, is the only financial institution in the entire town. There is no banks.
Yes.
Not a single bank. That tells everybody a lot of things. One, if there is a bank, it must have like the highest minimum amount to take out a loan. That means nobody's taking out a loan. Mm-hmm. Since the people who go to the pawn shops are people who are desperate for money. Mm-hmm. They don't have any money. They only go there when they need it, when nobody else lends it to them. So in order for him to, like, almost the majority of people owe him money, mm-hmm. which, like, for example, for most French, you know how they took out his truck? More than more likely, mm-hmm. he had a short-term loan. I could tell you that right away. It wasn't a collateral loan. A typical pawn exchange service where they could lend you money for an object, but they're not necessarily going to get you back for interest or recollect it. Mm-hmm. But they do offer short-term loans, which is something he might have had if he's taking away the truck. No. And at the same time, the whole entire owning of the town goes from $400,000 to $1.4 million.
Oh, wow. Hey, how did you come to that number?
I looked up towns who've gone on sale.
Nice. Do you think that because they came from a land that was closer to like the barter system and everything, that might be part of the reason why a pawn shop is so tied into the economy of Storybrooke?
I did like work down some inner questions just in case, and that one did come up. I think the only reason, there's probably a good reason why there's no other financial institutions in Storybrooke, and that reason is because Regina said so.
That is the best reason. Perfect. For everything.
Yeah. Speaking of Regina, we'll just because we're kind of running short on time here, I'll go ahead and push through here. Regina, this week, she firmly, flat out, kind of pushes Robin Hood away. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was great. I thought it was one of the – it was definitely the most interesting move I've seen from Regina since the decision to start Operation Mongoose.
Which we have not heard.
Which is kind of been a dead end.
Which was brought up in the chat.
But no, I really liked it because it's really smart of her too, because now it's on him. If he can't find it in himself to love Marion again after he tries, then he can move on and be with Regina with a clear conscience, because he tried. He did his best to try and find and rekindle that love instead of trying to find a workaround through Regina. And if it does happen, then I guess that's not so great.
No, not so great.
But, you know, this way, I think this is the clearest path to everyone coming out of this a moral victor.
Right.
How is he going to fix the relationship when she's still in ice
frozen
form?
Mm-hmm. Yes, in creepy ice form. Yeah. I don't know. She has no heart either.
As for Regina, I agree. I completely agree with you. And as a woman, anything is better than being the other one.
Yeah. Yep.
And like Beyonce says, if you like it, Robin, put a ring on it and stop complaining.
Now, one other thing I wanted to mention about this before we move away from it is just I've seen a lot of people saying, well, why don't they just have Roland kiss her? Because they've shown that's worked in this first season finale in Frozen.
Yeah.
But the thing is that Roland really doesn't know Marion. If you remember that one scene they had together, because Marion left right after Roland was born, right?
Yeah.
And that one scene they've had together, Roland actually said that he likes Regina more, or like implied that he liked
Regina.
Exactly.
I think that's the typical kid excuse. I've said that myself as a child. I don't consider that anything. Mm.
Yeah.
More than that's what kids do. They would, I think a lot of, I think I heard sometimes that sometimes divorced kids will pin one parent against the other. So I think that's what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
But that has nothing to do with love.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there was definitely that dynamic there. But I mean, Roland probably doesn't have any memory of Marion before she showed up in Storybrooke. Right.
So
what I'm saying that love just hasn't had the opportunity to grow and blossom, you know, within his heart.
And it's kind of hard to see what would happen when Robin is not even admitting it to the public about what he's feeling. So as far as everybody else is concerned, true love didn't work. So, of course, nobody else is going to try until he puts his big boy pants on and tries something.
We pretty much covered it.
Okay, let's see here. Since we're running so late on time, why don't we just... We're going to take a minute here and just shout out random points from our notes. We did have a couple more points here, but it's just we're running so short on time here. Belle's dad killed Anna. Not really, but kind of indirectly, and she didn't actually die.
Anna doesn't trust her.
Stalker Dairy Queen. I really like the formal Elsa dress. That she had on this episode, the black thing.
Oh, her day-to-day Elsa dress.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Sorry if that wasn't formal.
No, that wasn't. That would be the ball gown that she's been wearing for forever. Evil Mirror turns Belle on Rumpel. He magics her away.
I like the ogre attack. It felt very Jurassic Park. In fact, I think they might have stolen a couple of shots right from Jurassic Park.
I wish Belle's mom was more in the episode.
Oh, very she's much so.
Absolutely.
She looked awesome. She sounded awesome, so. Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Why would Anna bring the hat with her to go visit Grandpappy?
Why was Belle walking around with her memories in her hand while mountain climbing?
Yes. And why did she not try to save Anna?
Because she was greedy. We covered
she
that.
Was trying to knock the rock off the shelf.
Really? Okay. Captain Guyliner!
All right. Okay. Let's see here. Arbitrary scale.
Oh, yeah. That.
Arbitrary scale. Anne-Marie. Actually, you know what? We'll start with Patty.
Okay.
Patty, out of 14 pieces of broken memory rock, how many pieces of broken memory rock would you give this episode?
12 pieces of broken memory rock. It was a pretty good all around. Mind you, it did make all the characters grow. And in the end... And the story was great, too. So in the end, those are the two elements that at least most matter to me. Because as long as it makes some plausible sense where I could explain it into my mind, then I think it's probably a good episode.
Excellent. Okay, Anne-Marie, 14 broken pieces of memory rock. What you give it?
11?
Why?
It's a really low scale, so it's really hard for me to balance it. I'm going to go with... I mean, I liked that stuff happened. I liked that stuff actually happened. I felt a little bit more interested. It was about Belle, which we've all been going, why is there no Belle? Why is she appearing in a $400-plus shirt for 30 seconds and not speaking? throw the money. Throw the money. But I don't know. It just left me wanting something. Something. What, though, I cannot obviously express. Because I'm special. So, your turn.
Okay, I guess I'd have to give it, and I really hate to do this, like seven. Seven broken memory rocks out of 14.
That's more haterade than you had last week when we were screaming haterade.
I know, I know. And I mean, there were things I really liked about this episode. You heard about most of them. I tried to stick to the positives. But I don't know. For some reason, it just feels – everything feels like a step too far. And like – I don't know. One of the bad things about this episode, the dialogue, it was just half of every conversation was characters telling other characters things that the audience already knows.
Right.
And we didn't need to see them telling the other characters that. Like, just get on with the story.
Just get on with the story. Why don't you?
Like please. I said, you know, it feels like there's a really good adaptation of the original Snow Queen story in here. It feels like there's a really good Frozen kind of sequel in here. It feels like there's a really good Once Upon a Time season 4 in here.
But it's need to pull apart a little
more. Let's separate them a little bit. But obviously, you know, plans have been made. Things have been done already. It's kind of
has been dumped
a little bit late about that. Oops. Late for
at
that.
At the very least, there's one positive thing you could say. At least their flashbacks is consistent with what's going on in the present.
Mm-hmm.
Before, like, at least there was one or two where I could remember myself complaining, why are they putting that? That makes no sense. You're worsening the story, dude. Quit mm-hmm. doing that.
Yeah, but I'd like for it to be a little better. Just slightly.
I just want them to be better.
Anybody weigh in the chat room as far as the scale?
No, okay. they're talking Roland.
Well, here, Patty, we're going to go ahead and let you go so we can rush through the Audible mentions and the other stuff here.
Feel free to hang out in ye old chat room.
Okay. Oh. Let's see. No, that was just the mute there. We'd like to take a moment real quick to thank Audible for sponsoring this week's episode of Greetings from Storybrooke.
Thank you, Audible.
Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. Basically, you go up, you sign up for a subscription, they give you a credit a month, you get a free audiobook, Anne Marie dances around in the background, and you can listen to the book while she's dancing around in the background.
I don't really know what's wrong with me tonight.
You can watch her dance in the background while you're listening to your book and while you're knitting or something like that.
And while you knit.
Now, we always like to give you a couple of recommendations for your free 30-day trial. Anne-Marie, you had the first recommendation this week, right. I think, right?
So I decided to recommend Brownies and Broomsticks, a Magical Bakery Mystery, Book 1, written by Bailey Cates. This just sounds completely entertaining to me because there's baking and there's magic. So, I mean, where can we possibly go wrong?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. But it's like, it's a mystery. What are you doing?
I clicked the wrong thing.
Wrong buttons. Ah. But it's a mystery, so I thought it'd be fun.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You gotta love a good mystery. And as for me, I chose It's Superman by Tom DeHaven. I'm a huge Superman fan, and this is one of my favorite prose books with him in it, for sure. It's basically a period piece set in the 1930s, and it's about how the character who shows up on the first page of Action Comics number 1 gets there. And it's really good, a very kind of mature... If John Steinbeck wrote a Superman origin story, this would be the one. It's The Grapes of Wrath, the Last Son of Krypton. Lots of good opportunities there for audiobooks. You can get one of these or one that you want to read.
Any book you want.
Exactly.
As long as it's on Audible.
And all you have to do to do it is go to audibletrial.com/storybrooke. Again, that's audibletrial.com/storybrooke for your free audiobook. And we want to thank you again for sponsoring this week's episode of Greetings from Storybrooke, Audible.
Thank you, Audible. You had to check and see what show you were on for a second.
Maybe.
You may have almost said Gotham.
And now, on to the news.
News.
Okay, first up, the ratings. Once Upon a Time this week drew 7.3 million total viewers and a 2.5 demo, up 6% and a tenth of a percent,
up
respectively.
6%.
Which is good.
That's kind of amazing because they tend to trend down.
Especially when...
Last week was Haterade.
Well, I know a lot of our listeners really liked last week's episode, but last week's online response that I saw anyway was pretty on the negative side, and usually you see a dip in the ratings. So I thought that was pretty interesting anyway.
Well, I think it probably had to do with the fact that we knew it was a Belle-centric episode and we haven't gotten much from her. She has a fan base.
Oh, yeah.
Rum bells are loud and proud.
Definitely, definitely. Okay, well, let's go ahead and take a look at the promo for The Snow Queen. Now, this link and all the links will be available at the show notes at greetingsfromstorybrooke.com. We don't actually play the trailer on the podcast because we don't want to get pulled down from YouTube. But what we do is we watch it and we tell you what happens in it. So we'll go ahead and start now. Okay, the mirror, and they're going to fight the Snow Queen. But there's leaves on the road.
Leaves on the road.
And they captured the Snow Queen. She's in the interrogation
room.
They are not
scared of you, Emma. They are not scared of you.
Until they are, because you blow a hole in the wall like the Kool-Aid Man.
A little bit.
And then you try and kill your dad, it looks like.
A little bit.
Apparently. And electricity, falling light post. Maybe they'll take Hook's other hand with that thing.
Aww. But how will he put on the guy liner?
I have no idea. I have it, but it was back this week.
I know,
which
Captain
was good.
Guy liner.
Okay, and you wanted to point out this. I think Hope pointed it out to you, and then
yes.
You wanted to point out
Hope
this blog
totally
real quick.
Hope totally pointed out this Tumblr to me.
I think it's just a blog, like a blogger blog. Maybe?
Oh, is it a blogger blog?
I think.
Thought it was a Tumblr. Okay, well, whatever. But it is Once Upon a Time or OUAT fashionfinds.com. So I guess it is a real site. And it finds, I was on mobile. Sorry. It pulls different pieces that they're wearing on the show, finds them in real life, mm-hmm. and tells you how much they cost. I hope you have deep pockets if you want to look like Belle, for sure.
Yeah.
Mary Margaret. Emma, not so bad. A lot of, you know, Free People, Anthropology. Those are, you know, expensive mm-hmm. but affordable. Unless you want to wear her shoes from date night, those were like $700 or something like that. Yeah, there's also a lot of unavailable clothing.
It's a really good resource, though, and it looks like they've been doing it for a while.
Yeah, they have. So. I came across it a couple times over the years and may have pointed it out on a past episode, but I feel a little more obsessive about it right now. So, yeah, seriously, $436 for the shirt that Belle wore last week. She sat there for 30 seconds holding a baby.
Well, it always can go back into the archive for the actress to steal when the show's over.
Ding, 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 ding. Yeah, it's Valentino.
Okay, and the last thing we wanted to talk about real quick was this Entertainment Weekly article here from where they interview Adam and Eddie about the season. Now, Amory, you had something you wanted to point out here?
I did have some things. Hold on. Scrolling. Okay, where were the things? Will we ever see the repercussions of Snow and Charming stop at pop-up ad? Horowitz and Guinness? Yes. So, Hope, I know you're very excited about that because there will be repercussions for the sharing heart. Will we find out if baby Neil has special powers too? Yes.
Yes.
I want to see the baby do things.
Oh, I had something here about Rumpel. While you find your next thing, they asked, is Rumpel's behavior this season in any way related to his resurrection from the Vault of the Dark One? And Kitsis says, absolutely, it is related to that. It's related to the fact that all of last season he was a slave to the dagger under the control of the Wicked Witch, thus reminding him of how precious his life is. And it's related to this hat and what it can do for him. He is a man who always has chosen power over love, but this hat is a tantalizing thing for him that he never thought he would be able to achieve. When he finds the hat in the premiere, you realize why he had to wake up in the middle of the night and do it, even though he just made a big declaration to be on the straight and narrow. For us, it was, what is this object? Why is it so important that it would make him break that code literally the same night? And I really just like that they pointed out that, yeah, it was a very big contradiction there.
Yeah.
That, you know, he made that graveside thing and then he goes and, you know, throws it all away.
Yeah, but I never believed that anyway. Is there going to be a major character death this season? I hope so.
That's a good answer.
That's a great answer.
That's a good answer. Okay, let's see here. We'll finish up with some listener feedback. Now, as always, we like you when you're done with the episode.
We like you. Yes, that's it. We like you.
We like you a lot.
We like you specials. Sorry.
We like you to go to your computer on roller skates. Generally, we prefer you go specifically on roller skates and email us at your computer, greetingsfromstorybrooke@gmail.com. The Twitter's @GFStorybrooke. The Facebook is facebook.com/greetingsfromstorybrooke. And the voicemail number, which we almost always play, is 424-274-2352. Again, that's 424-274-2352. Okay, now first off, we have one here from Bobby, which has been a little late the past couple weeks, but he ran in roller skates to his computer this week.
Still took him a long time if he was running.
Take it away, Bobby.
Hey, Bill and Amory, it's Bobby. This episode had a few good moments, specifically when Hook mentioned how everyone in Storybrooke is related. I like it when the show takes a slight jab at itself. But as a whole, I wasn't really impressed. It kind of just left us with the same questions as we had going in, so it kind of just felt like we really went nowhere. That being said, it did leave me with a new crazy theory. They made a big point of showing that Belle's mom, you know, loved books and was an author. And it seemed like for some reason she was really concerned about saving all of those books. And I think it was not for nothing. I think that there's a reason for that. I think that either she's going to turn out to be the author of the storybook itself, or that she's like a keeper of the stories, that she's a protector of all the stories. I don't know. Again, that's just my crazy theory for the week. I'd love to hear what you guys think.
I love a good crazy theory.
I like that second one. Uh-huh. Like, I have heard a couple other people speculating that she might be the writer of the book, too. Mm-hmm. The only thing that kind of throws me off about that is the fact that this whole – the search for the writer is supposed to be the big quest for Regina and Henry this season, and she's dead. So they'll never find her.
We don't actually know that she's dead. We know that the king told Belle that she's dead. This just dawned on me as you started speaking.
Mm-hmm.
This is how I'm working today.
Do you think that the ogres kidnapped her and she's been up there for the past couple decades teaching them how to read?
Well, maybe not that. But I would not be surprised if she is alive and somewhere. Mm-hmm. And the king just was like, nope, we're going to say she's dead. It was easier to say she's dead than to say that she's captured by the ogres because Belle's going to go after her. Mm. You know, I don't know. It's an idea.
It's a bad idea,
but it's an idea.
It is a good idea.
No, it's a bad idea. It's okay.
And we have another voicemail here from Other Anne Marie. Okay, Other Anne Marie.
She's not in the thing anymore.
She's not in the – well, hopefully she listens to the episode.
Yes.
We love you. The voicemail was a little long at 3 minutes. We generally like to keep them around a minute, minute and a half. What I'm going to do, especially since we're running long, I'm going to play about a minute of it now, and then I'll include the rest at the end of the audio podcast episode. But next time, maybe just try and keep it a little shorter if you could. We'd appreciate it.
I really, really, really like this episode a lot better than last week. I also had my haterade on, like Anne Marie, and so I don't think it was very difficult to actually get a better show this time. Well, a couple of things that I wanted to discuss about the show was, how does Belle's dad know that magic comes with a price? I mean, is it because everybody knows the Dark One? Or is it because he had previous dealings with the Dark One? I really had the impression that he had met Rumple before on some other occasion. And so if that's the case, I'd love to know about it. And talking about Rumple, I really enjoyed the Rumple and Snow Queen face-off. It was the two big magics fighting it out. I'm kind of wondering about who would be coming out stronger. For the last couple of seasons, we've noted that Rumple basically was the strongest person with magic. However, the Snow Queen, if she was born with it, is she able to beat Rumple? And will Rumple have to work with Regina and Emma to beat the Snow Queen? Be very interesting to see. Also,
okay, and we'll
also we're gonna cut you off right there, Heather Anne Marie.
Yeah, sorry, no offense, man. We're just running so behind.
So behind.
Okay, since we're running so behind, let's go ahead and do some quick bits. Okay, you want to start off, Anne-Marie?
Alina suggests that Belle's mom might be the writer of the book since it's mentioned that she is a writer. Good theory.
Rain claimed he was right about Anna's mom being Gerda. Good job.
Hope wondered if Belle's character was a sign of Rumple's influence on her. We hope so.
And finally, Charity wanted to know how many kingdoms there are in Misthaven, because at this point, the royals outnumber the non-royals. I was thinking, I don't know, 50 like the U.S. states, but Rain actually got with us on Twitter, because we do put anything mentioned here in the quick bits, we put on a blog post up on the website a couple hours before we record the episode. Mm-hmm. And Rain responded with the listing of the kingdoms that he could remember. Let's see. It's Leopold's kingdom, George's kingdom, Maurice's, Midas's, Xavier's.
Who's Xavier?
I'm not sure. Google that while I finish.
Somebody tell
me. Aurora's, Rapunzel's, Ava's, Thomas's, Philip's, Eric's, and Killian's. Maybe there are some more that I missed. So that's 12 kingdoms. 12 kingdoms. And did you find Xavier?
No, I'm waiting for somebody to tell me.
Oh, okay. Here. Let's see. Xavier.
Come on. I know one. You got this in your back pocket. No?
Xavier once upon a time. King Xavier is a character on ABC's Once Upon a Time. His only appearance was in the 16th episode of the second season.
Oh, good grief. What was that episode?
He was he's the king from the fairy tale Rumpelstiltskin. I think he was just like he was a very minor character.
Okay,
let's see here. We do have a message here from Ivy. I'll go ahead and read. Ivy says, "Hi, you guys. I just found this when I was searching some random stuff instead of doing homework. The podcast. I really like everything you said, especially since I hated this episode just as much as you did.
Yes.
This was last week. I mean, it was just all over the place. But I will continue to have hope for the writers and hope that Once Upon a Time gets back on track to what I have always loved about it. Us
true
too.
That. Okay. This is from Jasmine, who pushed us to do commentaries and wanted us to read this part of her letter, if nothing else. While I've become disappointed this season because of mirrors that last – wait. because it mirrors the last half season too much. Now we have another relative who becomes a villain. I will say that your podcast with Anne-Marie and your great funny guests, Hope, Bobby, Amy, certainly makes me far more interested in watching each week rather than waiting until the season is over and watching it all at once on Netflix. There's no pun there, so not intended. Yes, there is a pun. Keep up the good work.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jasmine.
Yeah, Jasmine got a hold of us back in February bugging us to do commentaries, and then we finally did them, and I was cleaning out the email box a couple months ago, and I was like, oh, I should tell her we did them. And I did, and then she wrote us back. And I just wanted to put that in there because she had some kind words for our guests, which we love. Absolutely love. Okay, let's see here. Ash writes in, Dear Anne-Marie and Bill, how you doing? Good, I hope. So this week, Dawn Rumpel, Snow Queen, Ingrid, and Belle are making deals folks can't refuse. Definitely getting Godfather and Stepford Wife vibes this week. I really like seeing Belle and Anna go on an adventure together, and Belle facing her dark side mirror, doppelganger. Very nice nod to the original tale. Plus, the three sisters kind of remind me how there's different folks in charge of the other seasons, etc., as well in the tale. Yeah, I'm guessing, you know, a different person for every, like, fall, winter, spring, all
yes,
that kind of stuff.
Yes.
Anna is definitely warm and has the attributes of spring summer.
Absolutely.
I wonder if that might play a part in things, or it might just be a metaphor they use. I like that idea, though. And I'm just going to go ahead and finish this up quick. Thank you very much for writing in, Ash.
Okay. Dear Anne-Marie and Belle, I can't. This episode must have been written on Bring Your Kids to Work Day. That's the only way I could excuse some of this clunky childlike dialogue, especially
this
at the
Scott
end.
This is Scott from Georgia, by the way.
I was getting there. Yeah. At the end of the prophecy, I mean, the Savior's name is Emma and the Savior shall become Ingrid's sister. Wow. That is some damn specific prophecy. The prophet must have pounded that one out 10 minutes before the deadline after a 3-day bender. Come to think of it, he was probably the same guy the producers hired to animate that static photo of the ice cream truck gliding in the forest during the title screen. On the plus side, I did enjoy Captain Guyliner quote from Regina, and everyone is a related quip. All in all, I give this episode 5 stars. Then I take them away. Then I throw them on the ground and make an episode go to his room so I can think about when it's done. Sincerely yours, Scott from Georgia. P.S. Why are all the villains motivated by relationships gone wrong? I'd like to see someone who is just evil, selfish, and greedy for the sake of being evil, selfish, and greedy. Thank you, Scott from Georgia.
Well, thanks, Scott. And I would actually say maybe Rumpel falls into that category because he was always a little like he is, like from the time Peter Pan abandoned him. You know, from the time Peter Pan abandoned him, as this show often does, mashing up the fairy tales and whatnot. When they do that next week, we would love for you to roller skate to your computer. Greetings
Please
from Storybrooke.
I want a video of someone roller skating.
Greetings from Storybrooke at gmail.com. The Twitter's @GFStorybrooke. The Facebook is facebook.com/greetingsfromstorybrooke. And the voicemail number is 424-274-2352. Again, that's 424-274-2352. And I would just like to say, I noticed Hope in the chat said we would watch you guys forever or whatever. I know. Would you like to try and keep it around an hour though?
So we're over.
Okay, Anne-Marie, where can people find you on? Oh, was there something?
I had one more thing. Okay. Hope just asked for the questions that we wanted for our voicemail for the 100th episode. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to say them again, but I'll make sure that we put them in the show notes as well. Question number one, how and when did you find the show? Question two, I already put it in the chat. What's your favorite part of the show? Question three, what could we improve? Please, we would like some constructive criticism. And it can just be Anne-Marie, stop being a crazy person in the background while Bill's trying to be serious. I won't do it, but you can tell me that.
No, we don't want that. We need you to do that.
You need me to go in the background. Okay. Anyway, you can find me on the internet and Twitter @AMDSimone. I'm also on Instagram under that name if you're interested. I also have a blog, crunchycrafty.com. You can find me on Twitter there @CCHCblog.
Yeah, and those questions are in the show notes now. I just added them in while you were talking. You can find me on Twitter @BillMeeks. The Google Plus page where you can watch live tapings of this show is google.com/plusbillmeeks. And you can follow the words I write at dogboyadventures.com. I actually have a new book called Dog Boy, Eye of the Scarab, that's up for pre-order on Amazon right now. Just go to dogboyadventures.com and click on the front page link to Eye of the Scarab.
Eye of the Scarab.
And we also, we both co-host a podcast about Gotham on Wednesday nights at 8:30 p.m. EST called Legends of Gotham at legendsofgotham.com. A lot of good stuff going on over there, too.
Good times, good times.
Okay, well, I guess that about wraps it up. Sorry for running so long, guys. I know you guys don't care, but I feel bad.
I know. This could be what somebody like works out to, which I'm so sorry if this is your choice.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Anyway, so
until next time.
Greetings from Storybrooke. Kapow!
I really, really, really like this episode a lot better than last week. I also had my haterade on, like Anne-Marie, and so I don't think it was very difficult to actually get a better show this time. A couple of things that I wanted to discuss about the show was, how does Bell's dad know that magic comes with a price? I mean, is it because everybody knows the Dark One, or is it because he had previous dealings with the Dark One? I really had the impression that he had met Rumple before on some other occasion. And so, if that's the case, I'd love to know about it. And talking about Rumple, I really enjoyed the Rumple and Snow Queen face-off. It was the two big magics fighting it out. I'm kind of wondering about who would be coming out stronger. For the last couple of seasons, we've noted that Rumple basically was the strongest person with magic. However, the Snow Queen, if she was born with it, is she able to beat Rumple? And will Rumple have to work with Regina and Emma to beat the Snow Queen? Be very interesting to see. Also, nice marriage between Rumple and Belle. It was nice to see more of Belle because we haven't really seen a whole lot of it, but she was out of character somewhat, I found. It was not the sweet Belle that we know. I really did enjoy the fact that she was using her books and her book knowledge. One of the other things that I tried to look up was, who's the other sister? Helga? The only thing I could find so far is that she's mentioned in another fairy tale and that she was a princess and disappeared at her wedding feast. So I'm kind of wondering how that is going to play out. I was expecting her to be related to Emma for some reason, but I guess that's because everybody is related, as Hook was mentioning. Mentioning Hook, Captain Guyliner. I laughed at that one. I was hoping that that was for the fans, to be really honest, because that was just amazing. And one of the other characters I really enjoyed was Oaken. His voice was amazing, very much like the movie I found. And his trademark, hello, just made me crack up. It was amazing. I'm really glad that once actually incorporated him into the show. And then the last thing I would like to mention was Belle's scarf. It has daggers on it. It was very obvious, and I really enjoyed that. It was just a little hint to her and the dagger and everything. So, yes, definitely liked this episode. So I'm not going to give high numbers like Bill always does lately. So out of the 10 guyliners that Captain Hook is carrying, I'm giving it 8 and a bristle, because I really enjoyed this week's episode. Can't wait to hear your thoughts about the show. Bye!
Okay, if anyone's still out there, I think we might have 2 viewers. We have 6 viewers. I'll try and wrap this real quick, okay?
Oh, you're wrapping.
Okay. Okay, that's a good rhythm. Anna and Belle climb up rocky mountains. A trickle of trouble turns into a fountain. Emma, the savior, has a cold-blooded-hearted stalker. Her behaviors consist of hiding paintings in a locker. Rumple's full of live as he faces Dairy Queen. He's aware of her actions, but it's nothing he's foreseen. Everyone's related. Don't matter if they like this. Emma's got some sisters in this week's family business. And yeah, that last rhyme was really, really bad.
It was so bad.
I like how we gained 1 viewer when I started rapping.
Hilarious. Somebody out there was searching rap and just
they're like,
us.
I know Bill Meeks is rapping somewhere.
Bill Meeks is rapping right now.
We have to get there. But thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye.